This is Electric Sisterhood Podcast episode number 254.
I'm Hangry.
And I'm Ninja Sister. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl Gaming Tech Gadget and Anime Podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a new episode of our weekly awesome podcast. How are you?
I'm sorry we weren't here last week.
I'm not sorry. We were sick.
Well, you were sick.
And you were just getting over being sick.
Yeah.
So collectively, we were sick.
But still, like, when we come back from not doing the show, like, when we get back, I'm always like, oh, I feel like I haven't done this in, like, a month.
I know, it feels like it's been a month when really
it's only been a week.
And then you're just like, man, am I going to remember how to do this? And then
I obviously don't, so.
Yeah, and then I end up punching you, so, you know, you got that to look forward to.
Yep.
They will be nudging, but with love and kindness.
I love our intrigues together.
We have, you know, special time together, and
special
I'm so
sister
glad
time.
We had this time together.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got a bunch of stuff for you this week because, you know, we missed a week, so all kinds of stuff happened all over the place. You know, we had the verdict about, you know, violence in video games and it being able to stay because it is protected by, you know, First Amendment.
Yeah, freedom of speech, bitch.
And, you know, and expression. And, you know, I
express myself by shooting zombies with big guns.
Well, it's not even about how I express myself with doing that, although it is a great, you know, way to relieve some stress for me. But it comes down to, you know, it's a slippery slope. If you say you can't have violence in video games ever, then where do you stop? Then you can say that you can't have violence in movies, and then you can
and then
say
I guess they would have to
have violent lyrics in songs, and you
whoa,
just,
whoa
you
let's stay on the game tip here. So, I mean, if they went and they were saying we couldn't have any more violent activity, you know, gameplay, then we'd have to go and redefine what the actual meaning of violence in video games are. I mean, because, you know, jumping on a Goomba and flattening them, that's violence.
I know. So that's what I'm saying. That it's not a redefinition of violence. It's literally
linking every gems together and they disappear. Genocide of gems. That's violence.
Right. This is what I'm saying. The only thing you'd be able to play are Sesame Street games and Imagine Babies.
But isn't over procreation like a form of violence?
No, forced procreation.
So, I mean, if they're forcing us to be only be able to play this game, they're forcing us to imagine.
No, they would force violence because I would shoot myself in the head.
So I mean, they'd have to go and redefine the whole concept of what violence in a video game actually
no,
is.
No, you wouldn't redefine the concept. It's just that
no,
everything
they would
that
have
exists.
To define it. They would have to define exactly what violence in video games are.
Right, but you keep saying redefine. There's no redefinition. There's just violence. You would have to reclassify all those games that we think are not violent as violent games.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I was
saying. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's what you meant to say. I knew what you meant to say, but that's not what you were saying.
Whatever.
Dude, I know you're rusty. It's okay.
I need some oil. I'm a little squeaky.
Rusty. Oil can!
Exactly.
So, you know, I'm glad that the ruling came down the way that the ruling came down. I really didn't expect it to come down any other way. When you take things to, you know, higher courts, they really have to look at how it affects not only just this specific area or this specific group, but really how it affects, you know, an entire industry, an entire country, and, you know, people's rights. And the fact of the matter is, violence exists in the world. Not seeing it or having it available in entertainment mediums such as music or video games or movies does not affect that it exists in the world. And so, you know, I don't want to say it was a frivolous case because it wasn't a frivolous case. It was just really reassuring for me to know that at least at that level, you know, the people in places of authority understand what really is a matter that should be dealt with and should be corrected or course corrected and what shouldn't. So that was really reassuring for me. Plus, I like my violent video games. I mean, the majority of the games that I play are not violent games.
Wait a minute.
Dude, I said the majority of the games I play, not the majority of games that I own. Pandalicious is looking over at my video game rack.
Let's see, Assassin's.
I'm like, all right, violent, music, violent.
Actually, yeah, we were going to, under the definition of violence, there's violent music in them.
Music, violent, violent, oh, hella violent.
Incest.
Pinata side.
Yeah.
Would you? Yeah.
That you're killing piñatas. That is violence.
I mean, you eat them, so you
we're not piñatas eating piñatas. So it's
no,
not,
but you can eat piñatas. You can make your piñata eat other piñatas. I mean, that's sometimes that's how you evolve if you eat the other thing. So
I never made mine. I just made all of mine screw each other.
I just like seeing the little dances.
It's like, oh, it's the
when
maiden
they get down
dance.
With the maiden dance. But yeah, the majority of games that I own are violent, but the majority of the games that I play all the time are not. I mean, I'm constantly in DJ Hero and Rock Band. That's pretty much where I live.
Yeah, that's your staple.
And that's you know, it's my home. It's my one and two. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then when I have a bad day or when I just need to blow off some steam or I want to not be competitive or really think too awful hard, then I will fall back to, you know, my violent games. Like, I started playing Call of Duty again. And this time I did some Capture the Flag multiplayer just because I don't typically do that. I don't have a lot of people that I can play multiplayer with because I don't typically like to play public multiplayer just because there's still a lot of, let's face it, douchebags on online play, and I don't mind trash talk, like, when I'm sucking out loud, but, you know, I really don't enjoy the, really hypersexualized negative connotation when we haven't even gotten past the lobby.
Hey, bitch, make me a sandwich.
Yes, yes, and my favorite, I'm gonna slap my dick all over your tits. Got that one last week. Hadn't even gotten onto the player map yet. I was like, Ninja Sister, that's a girl. I'm going to put my dick on her tits. And I was like, what? Really? Like, really? We're not even on the map yet. We're in the lobby. And it reminded me why I don't play multiplayer online.
They're like, oh, well, sorry. I play with real cars, not a Matchbox.
You know, I'm just like, really? Oh, wow. So, I didn't do that for too much awful longer. You know, and it was the first time I've been playing it, so of course, you know, I only had the really stupid, non-effectual weapons anyway, and so I was just getting ganked left and right.
Right.
Which is never any fun, so I'm just like, you know, I just have to play with people, again, that I know, in order to have an experience that's actually enjoyable, which is why I don't typically play those games, and I end up rolling back to, you know, stuff like DJ Hero and Rock Band, where I can play with people online, and even when it's competitive, the trash talk is, like, different.
Like, oh, man, look at my sweet beats.
My beats beat your beats. You know, my streak. Like, you can't even touch it. It's, like, infamous. You know, like, I don't mind that. And
like,
I don't mind that.
I'm gonna put my dick on your turntable. Why would you do
and
that?
And it's like, ew!
It's like, it's gonna get caught and shit.
Now I gotta get the Lysol. Ugh! You know,
nasty.
So, DJ McSplooge. On the ones and two. Ew.
That's gross.
Grody. So anyway, really happy to see that expression is protected because a lot of these games are people's visions. I mean, you know, I can't remember a game that I've played in the longest time that had more violent imagery going on than visceral game Dante's Inferno. And that game was just really fucked up. But it was designed, first of all, because, you know, you're going into hell. So it's kind of got to be
messed
up. It can't
be sunshine and rainbows.
Can't be My Little Pony. I mean, that would be hell for some people. But at the same time, even with the few nitpicks that I had about the game, I thought that it really was done very well. I mean, when you look at the environments, the style, and what they were going for and what they wanted to accomplish, I thought that they achieved it. I mean, I thought that it was a really vivid look into, you know, one group of people's vision of what hell would be, what the you know, levels of hell would be. And I thought that it was, in its style, what it was trying to present. I know it's going to sound weird. I thought it was really beautifully done. When you look at the environment, you look at the different bosses that were there, you look at the different styles of characters that you fought, and enemies and things like that, I thought that it was really very, very well done. The environments were gorgeous, I thought. You know, I spent a lot of time, you know, stopping often to kind of marvel at the backgrounds in the game. And I would really be disappointed if there were things put in place on a government level that would keep people from doing that. So I'm very happy with overall where the ruling is. It means that Gears can be Gears 3 when it drops, and there's not going to be any changes to it, which, you know, are fantastic. I follow Cliffy B on Twitter all the time, and every time that he lets out a little nugget about Gears 3, I kind of squee just a little bit to myself.
It's coming.
And so I'm really excited for it, and knowing that games like it are going to be able to, you know, remain true to themselves. You know, I mean, it would have affected how games like Driver San Francisco would have to be changed. I mean, you wouldn't be able to have car chases because they're violent.
Violent, because you could hit things
and people and explosions and shrapnel, so you wouldn't be able to have that.
Right.
Which means all your racing games would be gone.
I mean, granted,
you wouldn't be able to have a Rayman game because, you know,
right.
You wouldn't be able to have a Rabbids game, you know? So I'm really happy about that. That, you know, it started the making of my week, which was cool. There was some more DLC that hit the Rock Band circuit, since I brought that up. I'm going to segue into that. I have to say that of late, the DLC that's been popping up for Rock Band has been kind of eclectic all over the place, which I think is really cool. Like, they did a pack release a week ago where they had a country song. They had one of my favorite 80s songs, Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Right.
They had a song by Erasure in there, and then they had an Avenged Sevenfold song in there.
Oh, I love Avenged Sevenfold.
And then coming out this week, there's a track pack from Soundgarden, although it doesn't have the song that
doesn't
everybody wants.
Black Hole Sun?
No.
Are you kidding me?
They probably have, you know, some things that they gotta do. Because you gotta remember, they gotta license it, which means they gotta get everybody on board to agree with it.
They don't have a lot of Pearl Jam either.
Yeah, well, you know.
That's right, because even I, like, it's weird. Part of me would want to play Jeremy, but then I wouldn't want to see the music video for Jeremy because it gives me nightmares to this day.
You gotta remember, they don't show the music video in Rock Band.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, I like the song, but the music video scared the crap out of me.
The bloody hell out of Jeremy.
I was like, oh my god, I'm like, I'm gonna be in art class.
The mountaintops, your hilltop.
You're not saying words right now.
I am. That's how the song goes.
But
that's how it works. That's how you do that.
You sound like a Wookiee.
I know. Have you listened to that song in a while?
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like a Wookiee.
I only remember, like, part of the chorus.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the only thing that's, you
that's
know,
coherent.
Intelligible. Exactly.
But
no. All right. When that song came out, literally, I had to, like,
you know, the horrible thing about that music video is when it came out. That's back when, you know, MTV actually played music videos in the morning.
Oh my god, I remember back in the day when
and
MTV played.
Every time I turn on MTV, that song would be on right when it was, like, the symbolic, you know, bomb went off in the art room.
Right.
And I was like, oh my god. I'm like, when explosions happen, we, like, act like mannequins and we get covered in, like, paint. And I was like, that is the most horrible thing in the world, and I don't want to die in my school. And I hated going to art class in middle school for the fear that someone
Pearl Jam ruined art class for you.
Yeah, I was scared fuckless out of art class. I was like, someone's gonna be really upset that we're not gonna see their artistic impression, and they're gonna blow up art class.
You don't understand my vision. Bing!
I'm like, we all wore those white, like, drape things.
Smocks.
So I was like, oh my god. I'm like, I'm gonna die in a smock. I was dead set that death was coming in a white smock for me.
In a smock.
But, well, I'm kind of glad to see that they're bringing eclectic music to Rock Band. I mean, I know that it was really kind of aiming towards their rock genres, but I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with expanding the music range. Well, I mean, as long as you don't have all the, you don't have any of that bubblegum pop stuff, which...
Well, here's the thing. I think bubblegum pop has its place, and I don't think that it's necessarily rock band, but, you know, band at the same... Hero. Well, it's not even Band Hero. I mean, although Band Hero, that's all they did. It didn't do very well. I think that you've got to pick your bubblegum pop carefully for it to work. You know, the thing about rock band is that it's... The thing that sells it, at least for me now, is the multiplayer. Of being able to get, you know, 6 or 7 people now all playing at the same time. Okay? And when you think about...
That's too big of a band.
I don't think so. You know...
Then it has to turn into Big Band Hero. And then you have to go and get a trumpet.
No, it's not big. It doesn't have to turn into Big Band Hero. But, I mean, if band you want to play Dizzy Gillespie stuff, I mean, I'm okay.
Oh, my God. I am... Manteca!
All right, I'm all right with that all night long. I mean, if we want to go there, we can make that happen. Maybe not.
Fun fact, Manteca actually plays in L.A. Noire because it was released during the time that L.A. Noire set in.
Manteca.
Manteca.
I love Dizzy Gillespie. But I like the idea of, you know, doing Bohemian Rhapsody. And
Was that Dizzy Gillespie who did Manteca? Was that Dizzy?
He did a version of it. It wasn't originally his.
All right.
I can't remember who did it originally.
I'm talking originally.
But I know he covered it. A lot of people have covered Manteca, but I can't remember. I don't think he did it originally.
Okay.
I think it was somebody else.
Okay.
But, you know, I like the idea of getting a bunch of my friends over and having a game that I don't have to worry that there's going to be 3 people sitting on the couch with nothing to do. You know, because of harmony.
No, they'll be drinking.
Besides drinking.
That is a pastime.
It is a pastime, but I like getting everybody involved with what's going
on. That's why you play apples to apples or you play things.
That, I know, but I'm just saying, when we're not doing that, all right, when the drum kit comes center stage... Okay,
I've
not
seen everybody. It stage.
Well, that's because you haven't come down anytime I've invited you when I'm doing it.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so whose fault is that?
It's not a fault. I don't want to.
Well, then don't say, "Oh, I haven't seen it." It's because you've opted. You've elected.
I opted out.
To not.
I opt out.
All right, but you know, when I have friends over, a lot of times looking at the peripherals, it can be a little intimidating to jump into Rock Band. You know, you see the guitar and you're like, oh my god, it kind of looks like a real guitar and I don't want to mess that up in front of my friends. But you get into people drinking and you put on songs that people know that are common knowledge songs, or they're the songs that people think that they know. They're more apt to jump and grab a mic if their friend's on a mic and I'm on a mic and we're singing a song that we all kind of know and we're goofing off. You know, that's not intimidating. And so for, you know, people like me who like playing drums and who like playing guitar in a rock band, I know that if I have a couple of my friends over, you know, I'm not going to have a problem having them participate in the thing with me, because at the least they can jump on a mic and people remember, you know, Hungry Like the Wolf from the 80s, which, let's face it, by today's standards would have been bubblegum pop.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Mainstream. You know?
Yeah, mainstream, yeah, you're right.
Okay.
You're right.
And so I think that, you know, it's the right selection of pop for the audience. You know, the audience for Rock Band is really you and I, and so the right bubblegum pop mix, I personally think, is 80s pop. All the stuff that, you know, we grew up watching that ended up being a pop-up video on a VH1. And, you know...
That was pretty smart of VH1 to do that.
Yeah,
like, look at all these tidbits of information that I didn't know that make the song and the music
like
more enjoyable.
Like, you would totally sing Total Eclipse of the Heart, which, by the way, is available as DLC.
And I would actually probably prefer to sing it literal, Eclipse
yes,
of the Heart.
Exactly, exactly.
Which I know.
But
literal,
you know, it's there.
Yeah,
you know, and so I think.
Let me know when there's some DMB. Dave Matthews Band.
Did you just actually say that on our podcast?
Yeah.
Like, am I gonna have to?
No,
is Wayne Brady gonna have to smack?
I like DMB.
I hate Dave Matthews Band.
I wouldn't
purchase Dave Matthews Band.
I would.
With Microsoft points if they told me, we'll give you triple the points back if you buy it.
Not all of it, but there are certain songs that I would definitely play on Rock Band. Like, I would play Crash Into Me, definitely.
Wow.
And I would also, as a guilty pleasure, would also do Don't Drink the Water. But that's because it's got that weird tribally...
Wow.
Yeah, I would do those.
I am kind of floored right now and don't know what to say about
that. I'm allowed to like what I want to like.
You are. I mean, it's a free country. Yeah. I'm just, all I'm doing is merely commenting. And my comment is, wow.
What?
I'm just, wow. I mean, I have my guilty pleasures. Don't get me wrong. Okay.
They're just not Dave Matthews.
They're not Dave Matthews fan. Nope.
Oh, man. Like... Yeah, so I mean, let me know when that DLC comes out, and if those songs are inclusive in the pack. If they're not, then no, those are probably my top favorite songs.
Okay,
all right. At least I'm not saying bring me some Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yeah, that's right, because we would end this recording right now because you and I would need to have a sidebar.
There'd be some.
There would be an intervention. Yeah. Like right now.
Oh my god, I'd like to see some songs from Scott Pilgrim vs. the World as Eleanor Wilcox.
I would love to see some Sex Bomb stuff, and I'm surprised.
Not even just them, but that song Black Sheep by Metric that Clash of Demon Head perform.
Yeah, yeah.
I would love to play that on Rock Band.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
I would really love that song.
Dude, yeah, why isn't that in?
I'm surprised.
Well, here's the thing.
And then they should have bass battle. They should have the bass battle. As a song.
You know, I'm surprised, actually, that there isn't. You know, I'll have to go back through and check the RBN, because that's one thing that I don't think gets a lot of credit, is all the stuff that's actually put up on RBN, which is also available for download. And that's where you have some of your artists who actually control the rights to their stuff directly put their stuff up. Not just indie bands. You know, that's where some of the Sushi and the Banshee stuff actually shown up, is in RBN.
Spellbound.
Yeah, seriously.
Fucking love that song.
Dude, serious.
Fucking love that
serious.
Song.
Serious. You know, so I think that, especially after the stuff that we saw at E3, we're definitely trending towards multiplayer really being a heavy-handed component in games, across the board, across platforms.
Yes.
And I think that that's really important, because when you look at the average age of the gamer, you know, when you think about it, you and I are not apt to take a computer out and go LAN anymore. Think about it. When was the last time you took a computer to go LAN?
The last time I was even involved in a LAN was back when I was in college and I was running the LAN party that was sponsored by Balls.
Blue Balls.
No. Balls, the energy drink. Yes, I know. Balls.
No, that are in blue bottles.
Yeah.
Just blue bottles. That's the marketing.
Balls!
Yeah. Good times.
And that was what? That was back before I graduated, so that had to have been at least 2000? No.
No, when I'm saying 5 years.
No. It was like 2009.
So, four years.
No.
Yes.
I hate math.
If we're talking beginning of 2009,
this was during the spring semester of 2009. Okay, so this was later. But yeah, that's the last time that I even had a LAN going on.
Basically, where I'm getting to is, you know, if you think of us as the average gamer, which I think, you know, when you look at your high level casual to your hardcore, we definitely fall in that category.
I think I'm more. There's got to be that weird place between casual
mid-level
and hardcore.
Gamer. I know I've made the argument before. Mid-level. That's,
because casual is just like, yeah, I walk by.
I can take maybe, it.
Maybe once a month I might pick up my controller. But I do more than that, but I'm not hardcore either.
Well, I'm not doing it till 4 a.m. when I got to get up at 6. That's why.
Man, those are the good days.
Yeah.
I could do that again right now, but I'm just not motivated.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of depressed.
It's okay. It'll be all right. Life will be okay.
I know.
But, you know, you look at, you know, you mid-level gamer.
Jeffrey. You stroke the furry wall.
But you know I always call it the mid-level gamer. I've talked about this before, where I'm more than casual, but I'm less than hardcore. You know, I am not going to go a lot of places to game. I'm not the Dave and Buster's kind of girl. I'd like to think I was, but I'm not.
Oh my god, Bostonville, totally sick.
What?
I don't even know. It's Massachusetts Dave and Buster's.
Oh.
It's called Bostonville.
Oh.
That's where I went.
You've never taken me.
I've
Why you don't take me places?
I only go to Bostonville to get fucking wasted. Why eat hobo fries.
Why you don't take me?
Well, this was for Thanksgiving.
Why you don't take me? See, here's the theme. Ready? Why you don't take me? Alright, anyway, that's another, you know, conversation. But basically, my thing is, that it makes sense to me that everything is adding a multiplayer component, because it's easier for me to play games with people online than to get a bunch of people coordinated either at my place, their place, or whatever.
Hey guys, three smoke rings means multiplayer at my house.
Exactly.
Two, you know, means online.
Like, trying to coordinate through Facebook. Okay, so who's bringing the extra TV? Do we have enough cables? Did we bring a surge protector? Oh crap, we forgot batteries for controllers.
Is everybody's facts on so you guys can get my gaming facts?
Exactly. Did everyone
show me the
bring,
game facts.
Did everyone bring enough batteries for their controllers for the evening?
I didn't. Whoops. You're fucked.
Great. Now we gotta make a battery run. You know, so it's,
yeah, but then when you do that, you go and you get snacks too.
And well, dude, if you were planning a party, you should have got snacks beforehand.
Yeah, but
pre-planned.
But if you have more people RSVPing to your gathering, you might not have enough snack ratio.
Motherfuckers don't RSVP.
I send out RSVPs to my gaming.
I know, that's because you're courteous.
I'm like, guys, I need to know by Wednesday if you're going to be at my house gaming, because I need to make sure I have appropriate
snackage. Exactly, snackage, because you are a thoughtful host.
I am.
Okay. There are people that I've showed up to this stuff after RSVPing on Facebook, and as you get there, like, oh, dude, we should get some sodas and some pizzas. Who wants to make the sodas pizzas run? I'm like, how do you not have food now?
Man, on my RSVP, I'm like, I'm thinking about having this for food. Anybody have any concerns?
See, again, you're a thoughtful host. You're a giving host.
I love
you're
to
a giving gamer.
I love to give.
You do. Mm. Okay, so back on track. I really enjoy the multiplayer aspect. You know, when you look at... I think there were very few things that we saw at E3 that didn't have multiplayer components.
Or some aspect that could
either
be
co-op or versus multiplayer. And everything. I mean, the Rayman game had co-op. And it looks fantastic.
Fantabulous.
It's a gorgeous, gorgeous game. You know, obviously Far Cry has those components. You know,
did I tell you what the definition of insanity is?
That trailer was so awesome. It really was. Ubisoft, you just get my wallet. Like, here it is.
Here it is. They can have my wallet too, especially because they ain't nothing in it. Here.
Just take it. Just,
like, look at
it's
that.
Open.
Look at that picture of
take
me.
Out what it takes for you to get me.
You want my old health card? You can have that.
You want to... Just, yeah. But I was really interested in some of the DLC stuff. Obviously, there were some more add-on packs added to a bunch of things. There's the Reefer Madness case that was added on for L.A. Noire, which I do need to
start. That's got to be a Vice case, because that's dealing with Los Drogas.
I believe that it is. But that was released, so you can pick that up. I know that you actually got a chance to get hands-on with the Catherine demo this week.
Yeah.
I downloaded it. I haven't actually started
you
it yet.
You have to play it. And, I mean, the demo that they showcased was not the demo that I got to play at E3.
Okay.
Because what they showed in this demo is they gave you one basic puzzle that that gave you the tutorial about how to shift blocks.
Okay.
And whatnot. They only give you the easy difficulty in the demo.
Okay.
Which also gives you the feature that I mentioned when I first talked about the demo back when we just got back from E3, that I'm in the easy mode. It's really for people who really want to get through the story. It gives you the option to have a back button that will undo your last move.
Okay.
So if you're speeding through things and you forget what block you moved and you're stuck, you can undo it and reset yourself.
Gotcha.
One move before that move. And they do have a trophy structure, so depending on if, you know, you make it through the puzzle without dying.
Okay.
And you pick up everything that's on the map, and you do it within a certain amount of time, you'll get ranked and get a trophy. I don't believe the gold trophy is available in this demo.
Okay.
I tried so many fucking times. Like, I'm like, I got everything on the map. I'm like, I blazed through it, and I still got the silver. I'm like, what the fuck? But they also did incorporate some of the gameplay that happens outside of the puzzle-solving nightmare mode, where you're out and you're in a bar, and you could interact with your friends who are at this particular bar, and depending on what your conversation is like I said before, it can determine, you know, what kind of state you're going to be in when you enter into your nightmares. I mean, like, if you drink a lot while you're out, depending on the type of drink, Like, if you drink nothing but, like, shots of whiskey, it's going to impair your mobility, and you'll actually be slower in your dreams.
Okay.
And stuff like that. I'm going to assume it's going to be something like that. I mean, all the drinks that they were showing were all alcohol, so, I mean, they all are going to have some type of, I'm going to assume, debuff, I'm going to assume.
Okay.
Because, I mean, alcohol is a depressant, so that would make sense that your body would slow down through consumption.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, they were showing the text feature. So, you'll get texts and stuff on your phone when you're not in your dream state, from random people. I'm going to assume both Catherines will text you, and I'm assuming that your three friends that you might see at the bar will also text you too, and depending on what your responses are, you'll get either a high morality or a low, and they showcase some of that. You get text by your girlfriend, Catherine, and she's like, wait, you're out drinking? You have to work tomorrow. You know, and you can cipher through what your chosen responses are, and they don't give you any indication as to what response will lead to what morality.
Okay.
But obviously, you can, obviously, oh, have a good night, sweetie, is a lot better than fuck off. So, I mean, right. Obviously, some of them you can kind of tell.
Right.
If it's a dick move.
But it doesn't say on the side, like, this bad. Is a paragon thing.
Or this is a renegade. Yeah, exactly. They don't do that, but you can tell. I mean, and granted, some of them were even right in the middle where I'm like, I don't know, if it were me receiving that, I would take that as a negative thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I really think they're going to play off the perception of the actual player.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I know going
That's an through, interesting mechanic.
I thought so, too. And, I mean, like I said, I played it multiple times, and I went through all those options. The first time I was really good, Catherine was like, you know, all my friends at this party, they're all married, they're all talking about kids. You know, and Vincent in the game is really reluctant to even enter into that next stage of his life. He knows that he loves Catherine, but he doesn't know if marriage is really for him, which is what I've stated before. And, you know, off these texts, right off that, I was like, I understand. I'm like, we probably should talk about it. And, you know, drive home safe and I'll talk to you. You know, like, I went super nice.
Right.
In it. And then the next time I was just like, yeah, I'm out drinking. I'll drink whatever the fuck I want. I'm not sure I won't get a hangover.
So first you were the good boyfriend and then you were
and
the douchebag.
And then I was the douchebag. Like, all my ex-boyfriends are most totally did the dick move, like, sup? Oh, really? I'm drinking. Bye.
Wow.
I was like, whoa. Like, I've seen that text before.
Yep.
You know, and
deja vu.
Yeah. I was reading some other things about Catherine, and I was looking for some other trailers that might show a little bit more gameplay, because I know a lot of people were like, from the demo, they weren't sold on it, because right. they only showed the basic type of puzzle solving, and then they do show you a boss encounter in the puzzle solving also. There are these fists of grudges, which actually, if you pay pretty close attention, they're your girlfriend Catherine's hands holding a knife, not a knife, a fork. And as you're climbing the staircase, not only do you have to worry about the staircase falling beneath your feet, but she is searching for you with the fork, and she'll stab you, and you pretty much disintegrate into, like, a flesh puddle.
A flesh puddle?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is pretty graphic. This isn't like, oh, we'll poke you, and you kind of phase in and out for a minute. No, this is blood and bits of limbs. Yeah, it's pretty gross. It's intense. But, I mean, it's supposed to be a nightmare. It's supposed to shock your system.
Okay.
So, like, when that happened to me the first time, I'm like, oh, my God, is that, like, am I, like, a blood stain now? I'm like, I think those are limbs. And okay. A retry. Which...
Whoopsie!
But I like that, though, because, I mean, nightmares are meant to be horrifying. And, but anyway, some of the other trailers that I had watched about some of the Catherine gameplays that, you know, everyone was like, oh, these blocks are just, you know, they're just solid blocks, you just move them to, and something like that. But they've actually do implement blocks that have, like, spikes that will come up that can hit you. So, I mean, they're timed, obviously.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you have to really be thinking, okay, well, I know that this is going to go off in 2 seconds. I can't stand on this block too long. You don't get any roll or anything like that. So you can't dodge the hits.
Okay.
So, I mean,
so
it's,
you have
it's,
to constantly
it's
keep moving.
Far, yes, far more... There's a lot
urgency.
More going... Yes, there's a lot more going on in the gameplay. And I actually think they probably should have showcased some of that in the demo so that people were like, oh, it's just a puzzle block moving game. Because a lot of people are like, I don't know if this is really something for me. And, you know, a lot of people think it's really Japanese. But granted, initially, Catherine was only getting a Japanese release.
Yeah.
So, hello. Not a big surprise there. We shouldn't be that surprised. But it looked really good, and I'm anticipating the July 26th release. here in America.
Well, that's just around the corner.
I know. And I mean, I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh my God, I'm totally going to challenge myself out of the gate. Not me. I really want to experience the entire story. So, I mean, I'm going to go through easy first. So I can I can know the story. And then once I'm done with that, I am going to up my ante. And then I'm going to go into pure perfection mode. And I'm going to nail it to the wall. Like, I'm going to lift it up and bang it against a wall. With confidence.
Thank you for amending your statement there. Because I had a one-liner and now I don't. I go back and forth. I'm interested in Catherine. I think that it... You know me. I like things that are a little avant-garde. I like things that are different, that are not the norm than
oh, this is totally the mainstream not the norm. Games.
So I probably will rent it. I don't think I'll buy
it. I'm getting it for the PS3. So
I will probably end up renting it. I think I've already actually put it in my GameFi queue. I have to double check that now. But I really want to give it a try. You know me, I like things that are more cerebral.
This is definitely cognitive and cerebral.
I like the things that are thriller based more than horror based.
But see, you're gonna be in a nightmare. So
right, and to me, that's thriller. You know that I'm stuck in a nightmare and that there's gore in it is one thing. I don't like zombie games. I don't like survival horror. I don't like.
But this is essentially a type of survival horror, and the bad guy is your mind. It's you. Right. You are your own bad guy.
And that's one of the reasons why I'm attracted to it as opposed to repelled by it. You know, I don't like, you know, like I never played Alan Wake because
I loved Alan Wake.
I appreciate, you know, everyone who's described it to me and everything. I'm like, it sounds amazing. I'm glad that it did really well. But my bottom line in a game is I don't want to be sitting in my living room and playing a game and, you know, be presented with a scenario where I know what's going to happen. You're showing me a room. It's quiet. You're showing me, oh, this is a safe place to be. There's nothing in here. It's cool. And I walk in and I literally turn around and then there's something on me. I don't enjoy that. I don't enjoy gameplay like that.
But I don't see. But then in that case, I don't know how you're going to react to Catherine, because I mean, there aren't going to be any jump scares or anything like that, but they are going to play with your psychological.
Yeah, that I enjoy. I enjoy my psychological being played with. Okay, like Heavy Rain fucked with my psychological, and I loved it. I can't do it again, but I loved it and I appreciated it, and so that's why I'm attracted to Catherine. Okay. But I don't like jump scares. I don't, no. Which is why I don't play any of those games. I don't play Left 4 Dead. I don't play. You know, because I don't enjoy that. To me, you know, at that point when that happens, I go, okay, so it's not really about my skill. It's about, can I be focused enough if you scare the bejesus out of me to put my cursor where I need to?
Then don't play Fatal Frame.
I don't. Yeah, I tried the demo for that back in the day when I used to get the PlayStation magazines that came with the demo discs. And I started playing the demo, and like literally like not even 3 minutes into the first demo, we're like, yeah, take a picture of this. And so I took the picture and then it flashed on the screen. The ghost was like, and we're done. And turned the PS2 off. I didn't turn my PS2 on again for like 3 days. Took the disc immediately out, you know, but I don't mind psychological. I don't mind if you play with my mind. I don't mind, and I actually really enjoy when you make me start to run through and try to think through a scenario and figure out what's going on and am I making the right decisions to get to the story plot point. Not only the story plot point that exists, but the right one, the one that I want to get to.
Right.
If I have, you know, my shoes on eventually. That I enjoy.
Okay.
What I don't enjoy is the shine your flashlight over here. Oh, there's nothing there. Turn around. It's a fucking monster! And I'm dead. I don't enjoy that. Okay. I don't enjoy that at all.
I like both. So, yeah. I mean, I'm anticipating the release on the 26th. I really can't wait to jump into that balls deep.
She's talking about balls deep.
I'm talking about balls deep
in games.
Oh man, like I'm jumping in
balls.
Like
deep.
I've got my scuba suit on.
Scuba feet.
I'm ready for the plunge.
You ready?
I'm ready. I am.
Yeah. So in the nerd corner this week, because we did get our nerd on this week. I think this is what I'm gonna start calling this. When we start talking.
A week in geek.
Well, if you're going to do that every time, then
you know
we'll
what
call
I
it
think
that.
I think I might.
All right, so then that's what we'll do. We'll call it that, and, you know, hopefully Leo Laporte, well, he doesn't listen to this podcast, so we should be fine. On the nerd side of the world, this week we both were dealing with some internet streaming servicing type things.
Oh my god!
Hold on, hold your horses, we'll get there. There's time, there's plenty of time, we'll get there. Mine was on the positive side, because I was able to get an invite to try Spotify. As you know, they started opening up their U.S. release invitations, and they're rolling more and more each day, which is really cool. I was able to get in pretty early, mostly because a friend of mine got in and sent me an invite. You know, friends, gotta love them.
How many of us have them?
Friends.
Ones you can depend on. Is it depend or rely?
First one's ones you can rely on.
All right, but then is there a depend in there? Cause I swear
yeah, it is. Okay. There's one verse where it's depend on, and then the next one is rely on.
Okay.
Anywho, fucking Club Nouveau, love them. Anyway, Spotify. If you're not familiar, it's basically what everyone wanted Pandora to be when they first heard about Pandora, but then learned to love what Pandora was.
And we're not talking bracelets.
Right. We're talking the streaming music service. So Pandora lets you put in an artist or a song that you really enjoy. And sometimes it will, on the station that it creates, play that song immediately or during its rotation, play it or something like it. But it will then also pull in information and play other artists and music that are similar either in style or tempo or genre to what you picked. And it's a great way to discover new artists or artists that you haven't heard of. If you use Pandora, you have both the free version option where you have to deal with some advertising. You have a set number of things that you can skip. Within a
like 60, an hour?
Yeah, it's a 60-minute period before you can skip again and things like that. Or you can do Pandora One, which for a set fee, which I believe is $36 for an entire year, skip all of the advertising. You're still limited to the 6 skips per hour, but you also get high fidelity or higher fidelity streaming audio. So you can absolutely use it as your home library music playing system.
Right.
Okay. Spotify is different. And Spotify has been huge in the UK for a couple of years now. But Spotify basically took the idea of Pandora and said, wait. We realized that, you know, sometimes you just want to hear this song right now. And I know that that's been one of my pet peeves with Pandora, is every once in a while I'm just like, Pandora, I love you. But I made a station called Blame It On because I wanted to hear the Jamie Foxx song now, and I don't have it synced to my phone, and I really wanted to hear it, and I've gone through my 3 skips because I only allow myself 3 skips within an hour on a single station.
Oh wow, you are good, because I could not do that.
So,
like, but I want the whole world, and I want it now.
Yeah, I do too, which is why I have 50 stations. So my skip is, after I do my 3 skips on the one station I allow myself in an hour, then I have to skip to other stations, and I usually find something. I have a lot of stations that overlap and things like that. But what Spotify does is says, no, actually, we realize that you want to hear this song right now. Not only that, but you may want to make a playlist of songs that you want to hear right this effing minute. You know what? We're going to let you do that. So where Last FM would let you make playlists and you could listen and you could scrabble songs from your own library, and if they existed, it would make a playlist. Spotify says, we're just going to basically be like iTunes, but really streaming. So we've got access to damn near every song that exists. And I'm exaggerating because they don't. There are a lot of things that are missing for Spotify, especially on the U.S. side. But there's a wealth of songs that are there. And you can make multiple playlists. And you can play them as often as you want. On the free side, you have a set amount of streaming that you can do. There are actually 3 tiers for Spotify. There's a free version of Spotify. There's a pro version, which will cost you in the U.S. $4.99 a month. And then there's a premium version that will cost you $9.99 a month.
Okay.
And basically, your differences are, one, you can make the playlists. They release new music very much like the iTunes Music Store on a regular basis. I don't know yet if it's, you know, weekly on the same day, because I've only had my Spotify account for a couple of days. Or if it's daily, literally as things get released. You know, the Beyonce album 4 is up right now, so you can listen to the entire album. You can put it on a playlist. And so I like that a little bit better than iTunes, because I can listen to the whole album and go, okay, well, if I want to buy this, I can. There's a button that will take me to buy it, and I can buy the whole album.
So you can totally test out the entire album and realize, see if you want to pick and choose, or if you're going to go for the whole
deal. And I really like
music
that.
Music a la carte.
Exactly. And it's really, really attractive to me. The interface is very simple, easy to manipulate, and with the pro versions, you get better fidelity, you get a longer amount of time that you can, hours that you can actually stream music in total per week, which is really cool. $5 a month I don't think is really bad for that. And then on the premium side, you basically get the ability to have offline listening as well, where if you choose offline listening, whatever playlist that you decide that you want to have available to you offline, it will actually download all of those songs into your iTunes library and allow you to sync them to your phone.
Oh, okay.
Or if you're using the phone app, download them to your phone. And so for as long as you pay for your Spotify, kind of like, you know, it's like a hodgepodge of Pandora, like if Pandora and Rhapsody and Last.fm had an orgy, Spotify would be the progeny. Because you have the ability to, you know, create playlists of songs that you want to hear right now. You can, for as long as you pay for your subscription service, listen to them, have them in your library, have physical files, and then when you don't or are no longer playing, those files just will not work for you anymore. I have to say that I am really enjoying Spotify. So it's really cool. If you haven't had a chance to check it out yet, please, please do. I still have some invites left. So if you don't have an invite and would like to try Spotify, hit us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh, and tell me why I should give you an invite to Spotify.
Because I'm your sister.
And the most interesting comment.
Because I'm your sister, smiley face.
By Thursday. On our page.
Because I am
don't
your
text it.
Sister.
We'll get an invite to Spotify. I'm really enjoying it. Like I said, the interface is really simple. I say that it definitely wouldn't suck as a gift, which you can't actually gift very much like Netflix
and
things like that.
Oh my god, you can gift Spotify?
You can gift Spotify, so you can gift either an entire year or, you know, just a month at a time. For either the $4.99 or the $9.99 plan, which I think is cool. So, you know, if you've got somebody coming up with a birthday that's into the digital lifestyle, you can definitely, you know, get them a nice e-card, you know, gift and give the gift of music and stuff like that. So I thought it was really neat. I'm really enjoying it. You can share your playlists and you can tweet them as well. So you can actually have people follow you and follow the different music that you're missing. So it's then at that point, it's really like Last.fm or Turntable FM, where you add in and people can see your playlists and comment on them, like them, and things like that. So you can have some social interaction about it, which I think is really cool. So Spotify.com, I'll put the link in the post notes. So if you can't figure out how to spell Spotify.com, just hit us on the website and check out the notes for this podcast episode. Click the link. Definitely check it out. You can sign up to get added to the list. Like I said, they're rolling and adding new people in the U.S. all the time. But we will give one lucky podcast listener an invite based off of the best answer on our Facebook page. Or Twitter, too. I'll accept Twitter. If you
Twitter
tweet.
And Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
You just, music junkies, you.
Just tweet at ESH News, why?
And don't use Because I'm Your Sister, because I am already using that.
Yeah, Pandalicious already used that, so you can't use that.
No, nope. Unless you actually were a sister, and that would be...
And then that would be really something
that
yeah, we would have.
That would be something to write
That would be
about.
A podcast episode all on its own down
We'd pull an Oprah. We have a half-sister.
We got a half-sister! It's amazing! Oh my god. Alright, Panda, so, you also...
have an experience with streaming, but mine is not nearly as happy.
No, yours isn't happy. I mean, see, me, it didn't affect me at all.
Yeah, see, but it affects
It did affect
me.
You. It did affect you.
So, I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only
you
person
were
who's...
affected.
Yes, and I'm sure I'm not the only person who's got a gripe. So
you're not. The entire freaking world has a gripe. I'll keep my opinion to myself till you finish.
So, if you are living under a rock and you have no idea what's going on with a Netflix account. For one, I'm sure if you're underneath a rock, you probably don't have one.
Right.
But if you're under a rock and you have Netflix, then you might want to listen to what I'm about to say.
How'd you get the bandwidth? Go ahead.
Pirating. Duh. Winning. But anyway, so they just went and decided they were going to go and change the options. Your options for packaging with your Netflix. I believe
they changed their plan options.
Yeah, their plan options. So I mean, when I got my job and did that, I was like, oh my god, I'm totally gonna get this Netflix. I'm gonna get the instant streaming, and I'm gonna get two discs out at a time.
Right.
And I was like, oh my god, this is gonna be awesome. It's only gonna cost me, I think I was paying like $14 for that. I'm like, that was worth it to me.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, I hear about this particular shift in their option plan.
There's a shift in the plan.
Well, now there is a schism. There's
a schism in the schism.
I mean, I went up on my Netflix just to make sure. They won't fully expect the change to implement. Like, if you want to, you can go and change into one of these options now. You pretty much have until, I believe, early September.
Okay.
Before they'll make it mandatory for you to decide either or.
Well, I think that's decent.
Yeah. So, you now either get just streaming or just discs. And the streaming
or
alone...
just discs and just streaming.
No, just discs or just streaming.
Right.
Right.
So, here's what I'm saying to what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that you have a plan that is streaming, and you have a plan that is discs. There is no longer a plan that is discs and streaming.
That's not necessarily true. The way that they have it panned out on the site is that you can still opt to do that, but you'd be paying an additional $5.
That's what
for,
I was getting
for
to.
Them. So, I mean, instant streaming will be $7.99, and yes. I believe discs only will be about...
same, the start, for one disc at a time.
So, I mean, obviously, if you do more discs, that'd be a little bit
more. Correct.
So, I mean, for me to keep my plan with two discs and instant streaming, it would cost me now $20 a month.
As opposed to
15.
Correct.
So, I'm like, no. I'm like, that's not worth it to me, especially because if you look at my queue, I do a lot more streaming online than I do discs. Ideally, what I thought about when I signed up for this initial program was that I would want to go and get movies that had just been released.
Uh-huh.
That I didn't have the funds to go and buy.
Uh-huh.
Watch them and determine if I was going to make it part of my physical library.
Correct.
I didn't even end up doing that.
No.
And so, you know, in my mind, I'm going, okay. Like, let me make sure that I've gotten every disc that was on my DVD arrival.
Yes.
Get those out of my system.
Correct.
And then go back and shift and, you know, come down to just the streaming.
Yes. Now, my question to you is, when you first heard the news, were you, like many people upon the webs, pissed?
Yes.
Why?
Well, I mean, for one, they were planning to, you know, up the rate if you wanted to keep your plans. And two, I didn't understand why all of a sudden that they were even going to implement this change. Like, I'm like, are you guys losing discs left and right?
No, it costs money. See, this is the thing, okay? So, everybody that I follow on Twitter, both people who I think are influential and have, you know, great things to say, and people who are actually my friends, like, in the real life, in the real world, and not just upon the interwebs.
Right.
We're throwing nutties, and I'm just going, I don't understand why you are so surprised. These guys are in the business of making money. When they first started instant streaming, which really cost them nothing except for the licensing fee, okay? Just the deal alone. They take one file that they have on a server and potentially can make hundreds of thousands of dollars off of people accessing that one file. There is much less cost involved than to physically maintain and purchase DVDs, mail them, include postage... to mail it back to them, and then trust that the post office is not going to damage that disc on its way back to you, which they don't hold you accountable for. Okay, that's all costs that they have to eat. So as a business person, my brain goes, well, if the online demand is through the effing roof, which it is.
Yes.
Okay. The number one thing, especially that gamers are doing, but even more so now that casual users of entertainment and streaming technologies, the number one thing that they're using is Netflix, closely followed by Hulu. I'm going as a business person, okay, we need to put more effort into our streaming, which means we need to beef up the content that we have, which means we need money for more licenses. And we really want to get out of this disc service thing because it costs us money. So how do you get out of it? You raise the price of the disc service, which the majority of your user base actually isn't using anymore. Okay, no one, and by no one, I mean a small, small percentage, has the disc plan on Netflix that's more than three discs. Somebody released a study and said that less than 3% of all Netflix users have that plan.
I only have the two discs.
Okay, and that's where the majority of people that even have a disc plan live. And within a year, almost all of those people go to streaming only. As a business, I'm going, okay, now's the time for us, with broadband being as available as it is, between fiber and, you know, cable companies now duking it out and providing more bandwidth, it makes more sense for me as a business to be a streaming business than to be in the disc business. But I've got to get out of it somehow. So for those people who still only have a DVD player and don't have an Xbox or a PS3 or a TV that actually has it enabled or a boxy box yet, or not hooking up a computer to their TV in order to access their Netflix that way, I still need to provide discs, but I need to make it cost effective for me. So I'm going to lop it up another $2 per plan. I'm not losing my shit over that.
Right. Okay.
You know, but and so I was really surprised at how many people were like, oh my God, Netflix has lost their shit. If they're now going to cost me $4 more a month so I can keep my two-disc plan. And I'm going, okay, let's be rational about this.
Well, I mean, if you're someone who's effectively using both your streaming and your two discs, I mean, I'm not. Like, if you looked on my queue now, I have nothing in my DVD queue now. And there aren't a lot of movies out there that are being released that I'm like, oh my God, I totally want to catch that before I decide to buy it.
You know, my I come down to, like, if you're that pissed about it and it's, you know, you feel like someone's just, you know, peeing in your cereal that much. Let's think about this. If you really need to get stuff on DVD, you got Redbox as an option. I mean, they're in freaking every grocery store on the corner.
You don't get a really good selection out of
Redbox. No, you don't. You know where you get a really good selection? Digital streaming. Let's count how many places you can get digital movies, shall we? Let's start the count. Hulu. There's the entire freaking Criterion Collection is on Hulu, for fuck's sake. Okay, so that's one.
Yeah.
Two, you got Netflix, which, let's face it, as far as the instant stream goes, there's a lot of fucking content on instant stream.
Very true.
Not to mention, if you've got cable, then you have all of that on-demand stuff, which is also streaming media, let's be fair. So, right there, if you can't get a hold of what the fuck it is you want to see on those three things, you probably don't really need to see it. But let's continue. You now also have video marketplaces on the Xbox. You have video marketplaces on the PSN. You have the iTunes store, which if you have an Apple TV, you can rent new releases right then and there for the same price as your on-demand. Or you can purchase movies if you want that are new releases, same day as DVD for most things, or only set apart by a week for other things. So out of all of that, if you don't have access to one of these six sources that I've just mentioned, then you have your Redbox option, then you have your disc option on Netflix, and oh my gosh, let's take it even back further and go just a skosh more, just a skosh, back in a day, you can walk your ass or drive to a Best Buy or your local big box store and buy a motherfucking DVD.
You mean like Blockbuster or?
No, I mean like a Best Buy, a Target, or a Walmart, because you can buy movies at those places. And you know, the beautiful thing about it is you can buy a movie, you can take it home and watch it. And you'd be like, you know what? I didn't really like this. I'm going to return it. You can be a douchebag. And you can do that.
Right.
Okay, so I really have... I'm sorry, people, if you're still upset. I have no pity for people who lost their shit about Netflix changing their plan. Because I think if you think about it from how you really get your entertainment, you do more streaming. And I'm pretty sure most of the people listening to this podcast do more streaming than disc purchase.
Right.
When it comes to movie. definitely for music. Yeah, I mean, our generation is the reason why this shit exists. Because we consume it this way.
Right.
So I was really surprised by how many people lost their shit about it. I'm like, really? Really? I mean, if you think about it, we're probably, at least for a big chunk of games now, we're probably only 3 years away from all video game stuff being digital download.
Oh, man.
Okay? With the, with the exception of, obviously, what's going on the PlayStation, because it's, you know, getting to the point where you've got games that are eating up, you know, 25 gigabytes of the available 50 on disk. I'm not going to want to download a 20-gigabyte game unless bandwidth really goes through the fucking roof on the home user side. But you look at, you know, marketplace games, DLC, you look at arcade games, you look at demos, that's all being consumed digitally. You know, I couldn't tell you the last time I actually had a magazine that had a demo disc.
Yeah, I know.
That came physically with demos on the disc. I try all my demos as download. I'm still not a PS Plus
purchase. Neither am I.
And I think my major, you know, thing against doing that is I don't like the way that it was set up, that the major selling point is that we'll give you early access to a demo. That just means that you're now restricting a demo that you normally would have made available to people at the same time on other platforms on yours, now to people who are just going to fork over money. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. It's just on principle. I just feel like, okay, well, now you're just, you know, gating me off from a section to make me pay you more money from where you didn't do that previously. You know, it's not that you're adding a benefit, just that now you're blocking me off and making me jump over a hurdle to get to an existing benefit. I don't think so. I'm not buying into that. But I understand from people who are the reverse of you and I, who all their consumption was the DVD, and the bonus was being able to get it, the streaming stuff. Those people I understand having an issue. You know, those people that have the 3-disc, 4-disc, and, you know, we're running through all kinds of movies per week. Okay, I have a friend that had the 4-disc plan. And, you know, when I was staying with them, I was like, dude, are you just bootlegging these DVDs? Like, what are you doing that you watch 4, you know, movies in a week? And he's like, no, we watch way more than 4 movies. And it wasn't until I, you know, spent a couple weeks with them that I realized, oh, yeah, hell yeah, they do, because they have a kid. And so 2 of their 4 movies, they would get, you know, kid stuff, Dora the Explorer seasons and things like that, and they would let the kid watch that when they were working at night so that, you know, they knew she had something entertaining to watch because they were both programmers. And then they would cycle those out. As soon as they were done, they got put in the mail, and then 2 more would come in. And then 2 of the movies out of the 4-disc plan would be for each of them. Chick would get the chick flick, dude would get the dude flick, and they would find time, you know, late at night after they put their kid to bed. Chris would watch his movie on his computer, and my friend would watch her movie on the big TV, and then immediately when they finished those went back, because they didn't go out to movies, they didn't have cable, you know, streaming wasn't something that was prevalent at the time, and so I understood their consumption after seeing it.
Right.
And so I could understand if they flipped their shit about having to pay more. But at the end of it, you know, at the bottom of it, you know, people have to remember, Netflix is not like your best friend. It's not like, you know, the dude that you go hang out with and you have hot dogs. They're a business. They're selling you a service. And they're trying to stay alive in an arena where there are multiple competitors who have a little bit of an edge on them in other places. Okay, Hulu doesn't do any disc service. All they do is internet on stream, which means they're just making money cash hand over fist for people that are doing Plus. They don't have to worry about sending anything in the mail. They're not having to worry about putting in postage paid stuff back. They're not having to worry about anything except for licensing and the subscriptions that they're selling.
Okay.
So their model is different. Okay, same thing with iTunes. Okay, there's no physical disc involved. Again, it's just licensing. And even with iTunes, it's not even subscription. It's just, are you going to buy the movie? Or are you going to rent the movie? And so they just have to worry about marketing and their licensing fees. So in order for Netflix to stay viable and stay alive, they've got to be able to make a little bit more profit. So I, you know, it's one of those things, you know, don't hate the player, hate the game. Okay, I got nothing against Netflix. I completely understand where you're going, and I have no problem with it. Of course, at the same time, let me preface this with saying that I've always only been an internet streaming only Netflix customer since I joined back to Netflix earlier this year, because I actually had a Netflix account back when they first came out, when they only had, I think when they launched, they had like 13,000 titles total, and they had two distribution centers. And so this was back six or seven years ago. Okay. And I still have a disc holder that they sent out to their premium customers. It was so cool. Got it in the mail one time. It looked like it was a pen holder, but it was specifically designed to hold your mailbag slips in one section, your discs in their disc holders in another, that they sent out. And, you know, I've been through six different revisions of mailers in order to that they used to try and make sure that discs weren't going to get damaged and things like that. And finally, I just ended up getting so many discs that were broken, which was the main reason why I left Netflix after my fourth year with them. And hadn't gotten back until they got instant streaming. And until they got instant streaming working on the Mac, I decided I wasn't going to do it. And I've been very happy with my Netflix ever since. And it's totally worth the $7.99 I spent a month on it for the instant streaming. I don't need the discs. I don't want discs, because the last thing I want is my mailman shoving those things into my mailbox. I mean, I cringe every time I look at the mailman when I know that he's coming up to the door and he's got something from Gamefly. Like, I will try to meet him at the door so he doesn't try to put it in the mailbox, because I know it's not going to fit and it's going to damage the game.
Right.
So, you know, I think if people take a breath and kind of think about how they consume and what they're consuming from Netflix, you know, I know the idea of it.
Then I think they would make the conscious decision to change.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm doing now that I've finished my log of physical disc.
I know, but did you flip your shit on Facebook? Did you flip your shit on...
No, I was like, oh my god, Netflix. I was just like, really, Netflix? So now I have to go in and go and change... Like, I got fed up with the fact that I have to physically go on their site and be like, alright, I'm just gonna go and do this now. Like, I thought I was annoyed by that. I wasn't too annoyed. Like, I mean, if I had a whole lot of things in my physical disc library that I wanted to see, I think I would have had a little bit more negativity for that, because I'm like, I'm not going to get through all these at the rate that I need to by September.
Right.
Like, it's not going to happen. So now I have to go and say, all right, so which movies can I take off this list that I really don't want? And I wouldn't have wanted to go through that mental,
right,
you know, catalog of what I really want to see and put, you know, a category on that, you know, put a level of desire to see that there. So, I mean, I didn't go and say I fucking hate Netflix. Because we already know that I am madly in love with Netflix.
Right. You didn't, so, like, write a song about it and put it on
No,
on
absolutely
YouTube
not. I mean, was I just a little perturbed that all of a sudden they squeaked that in? I'm like, I was a little piffed, but I wasn't like, oh my god, I'm going to go and cancel my subscription completely and fuck Netflix.
And there are, like, people in my thing are like, fucking Netflix, I hope you die. I'm never going to use your service again. And I'm like, dude.
It's like,
let's be grown.
You're not really mad at Netflix. And if you are, you're just mad because Netflix took your girlfriend to the prom
and
blocked her socks off. Yeah. Not that she should be wearing socks at the prom.
Well, it depends on the outfit.
True. So I wasn't nearly that upset. Then on top of that, I do know that they were there's been some controversy about the idea of going against copyright. And about streaming, you know, copyrighted materials for viewing, like gameplay and whatnot, on the internet.
Yeah, that's kind of a big one.
That's another big. And that, I think I have a lot more stake on, because, I mean, I think I've benefited more as a gamer when I've had a hard time to look at a playthrough or a walkthrough of a segment of a game that I'm having difficulty with and actually physically seeing.
See, this one is a slippery slope one for me, because... Here's the thing. It'd be one thing if you're talking about, you know, someone showing off code, but we're talking about people showing gameplay. So, and not just showing gameplay that, you know, a company has put out, you know, as a trailer, but actually showing whatever game that they're doing the walkthrough of, showing the character reacting as a result of their inputs. You know, I don't understand how that's any different than clearing people and allowing them to do covers of someone's song
right,
and
yeah.
put it out there. So I think that this is a much bigger issue for me. I think for you on the same levels, because, you know, again, we get into the whole slippery slope area, but I personally, very much like you, enjoy looking at walkthroughs, especially when I get stuck on puzzles. Like, I'm not even gonna lie, there were a couple of puzzles, pieces of the truth in Brotherhood that I had to finally, after a half hour, go online and be like, alright, what the fuck am I missing on this puzzle?
I don't even want to go with it. I unlocked the truth, so remember, I cracked there was on one, my last one. Like, there I cracked was, I on
think
the last
I was,
one.
I think I was, like, piece 8 that I finally was just like, what the fuck am I not doing? Like, I don't understand what I'm not doing.
Right.
Fucking Ubisoft. But,
You love him and you hate him.
I do. I love you, but you hurt me. But I like it.
But yeah. And I like that. I mean, I've always been one who where I always strive to not tap into a strategy guide unless I'm really in a bind.
Right.
Like, I really want to go in blind. I don't want to be led through. I want to try to figure it out for myself. But if I get to a point where I've been trying for half a year and I've made no progress, well, then I'm going to actually entertain the thought of getting that. So, I mean, I have
what were you doing that you, by the half-year point you weren't through? Was it Kingdom Hearts?
No, it was Final Fantasy X.
Oh, Final Fantasy.
It was Final Fantasy
X. Final Fantasy is just a different thing.
It was a totally different
beast.
It's
a different beast.
And I got halfway through, and then it took me half a year to get there, and I'm like, why is this taking me so long? Like, what am I not grasping in the concept and the gameplay and the mechanics that are making this more difficult for me? And then, you know, I went and got the guide, and I'm like, that's why.
And you had the aha moment?
Yeah, I had the aha moment.
And I mean, I had a chick and was like, did you get it?
Yeah.
Good.
And I have a slew of guides. You know, and
I only have 3.
I have a slew of them.
I got one for Kingdom Hearts.
I have like
Hearts
a trunk
too.
Upstairs with like mostly they're filled with guides.
Well, I got the Kingdom Hearts 2 one because I wanted the art book.
Well, duh.
Yeah.
But regardless, so I mean, this was actually a way that, you know, I could actually get a regular gamer's experience where they figured it out before I did. And a lot of the time when they're walking through their commentary, you know, they're not spoiling anything. They're just like, this is the run. This is what it looks like. You know, and in this run, I don't show you where everything's located. This is just from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and that's what I want. I'm like, I don't want to jump into your YouTube video and you're like, yeah, by the way, if you go down this way, you can get this unlockable here. And if you go and you do this in this succession, you'll get this achievement. I mean, unless I'm looking for a walkthrough that will give me an achievement. Like, I did do that for one of my achievements for LA Noire because I just wasn't getting the questioning right and I couldn't figure out what question it was I was getting wrong that wouldn't open up that achievement for me. So, I mean, it really is a pick your poison kind of thing. Like, what mm-hmm. are you looking for in your video walkthrough?
But I would be really disappointed if I didn't have that resource, because then I'm really just now resigned to having to pick up, you know, the Brady Guide or whatever, which doesn't really necessarily tell me or show me what I want. You know, I just want to see it. I don't want to spend $12 to have, you know, a resource guide on the table that I gotta go, okay, well, hold on.
Let me pause
the game.
Let me find the right page.
Let me find the right page. Okay, let me
read
this
and let's see if I can understand the instruction.
Do I understand where I'm supposed to go? No, I still don't understand it because somebody didn't actually double-proof the damn magazine, so you actually wrote the thing wrong, and so I keep dying because I'm going down the left hall when I was supposed to go down the right hall, you know, and I hope that, you know, similar to the violence in video games, it comes down to, you know, if I'm showing a video of my interacting with something, as long as I'm giving the proper citations and the proper credits to, you know, the copyright holder of the material. So if I'm doing, for instance, in our case, if we wanted to do, you know, a live stream of us playing a game, you know, if this falls the wrong way, we wouldn't be able to do that. We wouldn't be able to,
right,
you know, have a panda versus ninja multiplayer on a game that we recorded and then shared with people. Even though it was us playing the game, we wouldn't be able to actually show that.
No, it's really, I don't think.
And that's kind of sad. And it's also scary.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know a lot of people have had a lot to say about that. And, I mean, that really came off to me like, oh my god. And that's, and what's going to happen to a lot of the blogosphere and whatnot that have gotten their attention and their audience and their demographics from that particular aspect of their, yeah, and stuff like that.
Can you imagine a world with no Mega 64?
No, it would make me sad. And actually just made my tummy rumble, but that might just be because I'm hungry.
I think it's more because you're hungry and less because of the Mega 64.
I'm hangry. I'm angry and hungry.
Oh my god.
I'm angry about...
We gotta hurry up then because you're angry.
Yeah, I'm angry about a world without Mega 64 and I'm hungry at the same time.
Yep, yep.
But yeah, so... I mean, I kind of hope that they really don't go into that too much because I would hate to see what the ramifications and the repercussions of that would be in our gaming industry
universe. Big time, big time. So that's going to be something that we keep a watch on, definitely, because I'll tell you what, I don't... It makes me nervous. It makes me really nervous, but... That's all the time we got this week. So, if you want to learn more, there's stuff on our website and people...
We'll actually be contributing to the website on a much more regular basis.
Why'd you hit me so hard?
You know why. So make sure that you're checking that stuff out that we write on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is...
ESH.co, that is ESH.co. The short address will bounce it to the long one. You can check out the articles that are written within the week. Questions and comments, go to mailbag@landavesh.com. We are available on iTunes for free. Subscribe. Get the freshness and leave a comment/review.
That's right. You can get our podcast the moment that we put them out on the interwebs by subscribing to our podcast in iTunes. Just simply look up in the music store in the application for Electric Sisterhood, all one word, and hit the beautiful little subscribe button that appears next to our podcast icon, which will ensure you get the freshness, as Panda said, the moment that it's popping fresh upon the interwebs. You can also subscribe to our podcast using the Zune Marketplace, because we're listed there as well, for our friends that live La Vida Windows. And you can do it the same way. Just simply bop into the marketplace, search for Electric Sisterhood, and hit that. But that's not the only way that you can get our podcast. So if you don't want to do that,
you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine, but also be looking out for the other shows that fly underneath our banner.
That's right. We're not the only thing that makes up the Land of Esh, so while we have new episodes of our podcast that go out on Mondays, you can follow that up with an episode of the Boston Bash Brigade, hosted by King Baby Duck, one of our homies, who puts out new episodes of their podcast on Tuesday, and you can check them out on their live stream on Ustream as well. You can hit up our boy, Deuces Wild, over at geekagro.com, or you can listen to his podcast, which comes out on Wednesday. So right there, we got your nerd needs handled all the way to hump day and getting you through the rest of the week. Well, like I said, there's the stuff that we write on our websites, respectively or collectively. You can find it all at landofesh.com. You can get a hold of our brand new issue of our magazine there while you're at the Land of Esh, checking out all the stuff that we're writing on the network. And I highly recommend it because there's some great pieces in there. We've got fan fiction, we've got game reviews, we've got game previews, we've got opinion pieces because we're opinionated people. So I suggest, recommend, I'm not begging, but I strongly recommend a buy on the Electric Sisterhood magazine. The July issue, like I said, is available. And you can check out all the stuff that we tweet about. Collectively, if you want to see the entire clan that makes up the Land of Esh, then just hit up my page, twitter.com/ninjasista, and check out the Land of Esh list. That's got everybody's Twitter handle on the list who makes up the Land of Esh. Definitely fun, interesting reading, people. I highly recommend that. I think that's pretty much everything. I hit you with the Twitter, I hit you with the Facebook, I hit you with the website.
We just have to give them the shit we dig.
Oh, well, what's the shit you digging this week, Pam?
I am digging money.
Money?
Money.
As in cash rules everything around me?
I mean, cash came at the right time to save my black ass.
Ooh, saving your bacon.
Saving my bacon. I couldn't have asked for it to come at a better time. Thank you, karma and fate and destiny, whatever
you want to call it, whichever one you want to pick. Thank you.
And I guess True Blood, the new season.
All right.
What are you digging?
I'm going to say the shit that I'm digging this week is going to actually have to be peanut butter. And the reason why I say that is I had the most amazing peanut butter cookie this week. Like, it almost changed my life. I'm not even gonna lie.
Like, touched by an angel to save your life?
Kinda, yeah. Yeah. Like,
there was an angel in your cookie?
It wasn't in my cookie. An angel appeared right at the moment where I was like, again, I was like you. I was having a moment of hangriness. Right.
And so an angel appeared unto me and gaveth unto me this amazing peanut butter cookie that was homemade.
And said, Om Nom, and be well.
And lo, there was Om Noms, and yay, they were good.
Okay.
So, yeah, peanut butter cookies. But peanut butter in general, because, I mean, you know, cookies are always good, but it was really yummy. So, that's it. That's all we got for this week. We want to hear from you. Make sure that you check out the stuff on our website. Comments are turned back on and working, so you can log in using your Facebook account and comment on our stuff. We really love to hear from you guys. I am Ninja Sista.
And I am Pandalicious.
And we are out of here.
Bye, guys. See you next week.